Wonderful, wonderful questions. Amazing, amazing questions. We're going to discuss tonight the most popular questions, the ones that came up the most, and these are really all your words. I did not change them. I did not make them any different. I did group them together because to go through all the questions would take a very long time. So we're going to try to accomplish a few questions at once.
Okay.
So first question.
I only have one microphone, by the way. So.
Okay. Okay, first question is, how do you know when you're ready to start? If you want to be set up, how do you start the process? Next question, what do you do if you want to start dating but don't want to pester people to set you up? How do you balance being an independent person and relying on others to set you up? How do you best support a friend who constantly complains about her lack of dates?
How many questions were
there? Right.
Okay, so hi. I'm going to start at the top, I guess, with how do you know when you're ready to start. And I guess a little bit I'm going to answer it kind of in the negative. In order to start, I don't think that you need to feel 100% ready to start, ready to get married, ready to like be in this whole new chapter of life. I think you just have to be interested in starting. Be curious about what the process will be like and what this next chapter will be like for you. And just have an open mind about sort of putting your toe in the water and seeing where it goes. I don't think that, you know, sometimes people come and they feel like, well, if I'm not ready to get married, then who am I to start dating? I think that you get ready for the next step while you're in the process of getting there. And you're not going to feel ready kind of until you're in it. I always compare it, you'll see one day, God willing, to parenthood. No one is ready to be a parent until you have a child, and even then maybe not, but you sort of like figure it out, you know, please God, as you go along. And this is the thing. So if you think you're ready, probably you are, and be open minded about the process.
Anybody else want to answer all of the questions? If you want, I could like split it up more.
First of all, everyone.
The ready to start.
What's that?
We'll talk about
the
ready to start.
And then we'll go to the other 19 questions. Right. My first question. She's like throwing us off on the first question.
Right.
First of all, it's so great to be here. I've been very blessed to give a lot of Shiurim and Stern over the years. And it's just such an incredible environment. And I'm sure that I speak on behalf of Rebbe Zin Cement, Dr. Albert, who's here, and Rebbe Zin Salosky, who comes here as well. Just, we are so moved and uplifted and inspired by your guys' energy and your desire for growth. And this evening, these questions very much tap into that. I just want to make one caveat that Dr. Soloska and I both have daughters who are 25 years old. We're still not totally ready to be parents. We're figuring it out on the fly with each child who comes. And that's sort of like life. Life itself is not like, I'm ready to be married, and now like I got it. It's like, I don't have it. You know, I'll have it maybe at age 85, and I can look back after 60 years. But I totally agree with what Dr. Albert said. I would just maybe highlight a couple things to be conscious about. And these are things that you may want to speak with Rebbe Zin Cement about, or other people, maybe even family members. I guess the question also whether you guys see yourselves, and this is a hard question to answer, as like fundamentally healthy people, right? It's hard to go into a relationship, it's hard to start this next stage of life if we're finding ourselves maybe not in a great space emotionally, and that's only something that you would know about yourself. It's important to think before you get married, before you start dating, about, are there major areas of my life that I should be addressing before I get into a relationship? Perhaps, am I super insecure? I always need someone else in my life, constant feedback and support. Do I have an issue controlling my emotions? Now, that's not a reason to not date, but those are major, major things. If there's major issues in midos or behavior or emotional upheavals, that just makes relationships very, very complicated and should be addressed at some point either before or certainly at the beginning of that process of dating. And that's something which I would just ask all of you to take a close look at yourselves and to sort of self-evaluate before you sort of jump into a serious relationship.
Sam? Could I segue into another one of your questions?
Sure.
So one of the questions I've seen some ask is how do you get the process going, or how do you help your friends if they don't have dates, something like that. Yeah. Okay. She makes up the questions.
Right, I'm sorry.
It's fine.
I'm
sorry. It's like trying to remember all of them.
Right.
So because both the panelists already answered the first part of the question, I would say that not because I am part of YU Connects, but in general, I would just say that when one starts seeing, it is completely normal and natural to network and to reach out to various different venues and different ways that you meet people. This is an opportunity time where a person shouldn't feel badly that they're asking for help. You know, sometimes in life we're takers, and sometimes in life we're givers, and sometimes we're both. So a person shouldn't feel like, I don't understand, why do I have to reach out to other people in order for me to be known and to try to get dates? That's just normal. You know, your friends, we hope that it's reciprocal, that your friends should be thinking of you when they go out, this boy isn't for me, maybe it's for a friend, and we should be doing the same. But it's really a time in your life where it isn't a time where you can be takers, you can reach out in an appropriate, dignified manner in various venues that you have, whether it's teachers from Israel that you're still close with, or whether it's people on campus, or whether it's your friends, your family members, your parents' friends, and just say, I'm dating, and if you have any great ideas for me, then I'm still happy to hear them, and not to feel any negativity about that, which is what everybody does. We do it for our sons, we do it for our daughters, I mean, I know that I do, so this is just part of it. You asked one more question about being ready. I would say based on what Dr. Alpert and Rabbi Glass said, when you are ready, and I'm just going to like fast forward, when you are in a relationship, just make sure that you have time for it. I mean, sometimes we try to set girls up, or men, boys, however you want to call them, and you're too busy in school, or you have a lot of other responsibilities going on. So if you do start dating, just really make sure that you have the time. Okay, tonight I'm studying, but you know, in 3 nights from now, I'm going to make time to go on a date. Because sometimes if you don't have the physical time, the practical time, or the mind, you know, as Rabbi Glass is saying, you're not emotionally ready, those sometimes get in the way when you do have an opportune person to go out with. So just make sure that you do carve out the time in a balanced way. Anyway.
I just want to piggyback. It wasn't exactly the question, but that's sort of what rabbis do. You just sort of get going and you just
take the mic.
What's that?
Take the mic
and just, you know, get comfortable. I just want to mention this is something that I very much encourage to take advantage of the Counseling Center and Dr. Albert, who's here, just about the following. I'll tell you a conversation I had, as Robinson mentioned, I'm a Mashgiach in the Beis Medrash from YU, which means sitting in the Beis Medrash all day and night, talking with guys, learning with guys, and for a certain percentage, you know, that gets around to dating and relationship issues. And there's a guy who's just an amazing, amazing person. You know, one of these people that mothers would swoon over their daughters marrying. He's a great guy, Michelle Levin, and great personality, and tons of friends, and he's a learner, and he's a this, and a that, and he was in... and has for 24 years, and he's just, you know, what's that?
He's a great ball player.
What's that? Yeah. You don't want to go with the people who were in Haas for 24 years. That's somewhat sad. But and then all of a sudden he thought that he would say, okay, I'm ready to start dating. And now, like, boom, you know, the world would be after him. And meanwhile, it just did not happen. You know, he's an amazing guy, but the phone was not ringing. And he's been doing, as Robinson said, you know, some hishtavlos and reaching out. But it just didn't happen in the way that maybe he hoped or wanted. And then what happens to our sense of self when things are maybe are just not happening? You know, when the phone is not ringing. Okay, I called the Robinson of my shul, and I spoke to this person, and I spoke to YU Connects, and I haven't gone on a date for a couple of months. And, like, what happens to that sense of self when perhaps sort of the world, whether it's professionally or personally, I'm finding painful or I'm finding disappointing or it's not happening the way that I want, how do we maintain just a great sense of self, even when perhaps you run into struggles, you know, socially, or things are not happening, and maybe there's certain fears involved. And it's so important to continue to attune ourselves and tend to our sense of self so we don't get dragged down at any age, at any stage, by sometimes life events not happening in the way that we ideally want. And that is so important because everyone in this room is going to run into some sort of frustration over the course of this process, and to continue to tend to that inner sense of self and that love of self during this process. So I just want to mention that as well.
No, I mean, I think if I would just like add one more thing, and obviously everyone said wonderful ideas, and the truth is we are never ready. Like, I'm sure you'll remember when you were in ninth grade, you weren't ready for ninth grade until you were in 10th grade. You weren't ready for seminary, really, until you finished. So the same thing with here. You know, I think that on the one hand, you need to get to know yourself. And for some of you that went to Israel, sometimes you need to settle in. Like, when you build a house, the foundation needs to settle, and you need to kind of get to know who you are so you can know what you want and you can know what you're looking for. And, you know, maybe the second you got back from Israel is different from 3 months later or 6 months later. And again, you know, you need to take time, and that's when you're selfish, when you can say, like, I need to ground myself, I need to strengthen myself, and I need to make sure that I'm comfortable with myself so I can be in a comfortable relationship and I can be in a healthy relationship and I can continue to, let's say, have the home that I want and the family that I want. And so you can take some time, you can take time for yourself. You may not want to take 10 years. You might want to, you know, take as much time as you need. And then when you feel the time is right, you may have to jump in. You know, there's not going to be a baskol from Shemayim that says, now is the time, you're ready, tomorrow, you know, get dressed. Like, you know, that doesn't, unfortunately, work like that. That'd be nice, but it doesn't. And you may need to, you know, feel comfortable, and then you also feel uncomfortable. That's, you know, I think that's just the way that it works. And in addition to that, I think to use this time that you have to make yourself a better person. Like, use this time that you have, whether you're dating, whether you're during dating or pre-dating, to solidify who you want to be. You know, work on your egos. Work on, you know, what kind of person, you know, if you're looking for X, Y, and Z, that person needs that in you. So you have to make sure that you're also having those egos and those characteristics and those values and those priorities and, you know, all the different things that come along with it. So this is precious time that you have. You know, don't waste it. Like, use it. Hashem is giving you this wonderful time that you should not take for granted, and make sure that it's used and really just, you know, important for your process and for your growth. Okay. Next question. Okay. It's a few. I hope these are grouped together well. Okay, how do you handle the dating culture at Stern? It's all everyone talks about, and it's a lot. These are your words. These are mine. In dating, it can be difficult not to feel alone, especially when a good chunk of your friends are already off married and living their best lives. How can I keep myself motivated and going? That's it.
So I will start and then hand to the wife of people on the panel. I would say that one of the things that's important during dating life, it's not just at Stern, it's anywhere and everywhere. You know, even dealing with Stern, it's a culture of an age where people are expecting you to date them. Everyone's talking about that, like you said. And as our right class said correctly, the boys are also talking about that. The guys are doing the same.
He's going to give us the guys' perspective.
And if they, you know, some get married very quickly, some don't, some get longer, these ones feel bad. I think that one of the important parts to piggyback on what we spoke about before is to keep your sense of self, but also find other parts of your life, not just dating, that are meaningful to you, that empower you. You know, whether it's your schoolwork, whether it's learning new hobbies. A girl recently that I met with, she told me that she's, you know, learning to play guitar on her own and she's learning it online, but like that keeps her busy. Somebody else told me she's taking a graphics class. These are things that not just to keep you busy, that's for sure, for something important, travel, on trips together, go with friends, for Shabbos, do other things that are outside of dating, that you don't just have to be focused on to have a date or not. But the added perk to a lot of these kinds of extracurricular activities that you do is you become a much more interesting dater. You know, I'm serious, like sometimes when you're going out, you have more to talk about, you have other parts of you that are not just, I want to get married. Whatever the intro, I like museums, I just read something, an article about this topic. You feel in the blank the way you want, but if you are finding downtime in your life and you have time, I know here in the city, I don't know how to get around the city, as you saw, I had trouble parking, but for all of you, I'm sure you know how to, there's so much here to offer, there's so much to explore, and you should take that as an opportunity to just, as they're all saying, to grow yourself and to add more interests to yourself, because really you just become a much more interesting person for the other person that God willing that you're going to date in session.
So I think that was very much in line with what I was going to say. I would just also say, this is good advice for life beyond this moment also. You will always have many roles. When you're a student, you shouldn't only be a student. You have to remember that, although it's important to be a good student, it's also you're a friend and a daughter and maybe a sister and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it is important, what you're always looking for, what I think we'll keep coming back to, is balance. So, no one thing should ever be at the exclusion of all others. And if you're feeling like things are out of balance, it's time to do programs in Sublusky said, and maybe find some time that you can carve out for something else. But I would also say, in a practical way, I think you could talk to your friends about it. When it does become a little too much, I think that was the quote, right? A lot. I think that you can say to your friends, this is feeling like a lot. I'm noticing that we're talking about this a lot, and I could use a break. And probably they will say, oh my gosh, me too, And then go out and do something together, or make like a moratorium, or on Thursday nights, we don't talk about dating, or whatever. A lot of people sent in this question, which means that a lot of you are on the same page on this issue. And again, it's not just with dating, right? Midterms and finals times, you might need a night to blow off steam and not talk about schoolwork. This is the same, and I think really you're all in the same boat, and it's okay to be open about that and help each other out.
I just want to second or third what everyone said, and even just, I think this was mentioned before, the happiest people in life with marriage and children are people whose life are so much more broad just beyond that. Close friendships, interests, nature, expansion of the mind, pursuing personal habits, education, right? And just even if the person's married, if the person has children, the goal is the full totality of that experience, and this is sort of a good time to sort of start, while you're here. I just wanted to maybe address the second point, how to not feel, what's the exact theory of?
Alone.
How to not feel down?
Alone.
I'm trying to, I'm rereading the question. I'm just, yeah. So how to not feel alone with what?
Especially when a good chunk of your friends
right.
already.
Right, and I just want to mention, this is a really great place for people to shore up their sense of bitachon, their sense of faith, faith in God, faith in the universe, faith in themselves. And what does faith mean? Right, let's just say for a second, you fast forward 20 years from now, you have a 17-year-old son who has been thrown out of yeshiva for the fifth time, and he's running around the neighborhood, and he's smoking a lot of marijuana and other such things, and he's not exactly, perhaps, the child, Shalom Harivarsin, he's not exactly, that was for me also, by the way, that was also, we all stood up for you. He was not exactly the child that you thought when you got married, oh, that's going to be my kid. You have some image, my kid's going to be yeshiva, and he's going to be this, and he's going to be that, and he's going to be the kid who's, leading the kumzitz, and who knows, right? And then your kid's not that. Your kid has been thrown out of yeshiva. Now, a person go through life and say, look at that person's kid, and I wish my kid, and if I only this kid, and I'd be happier if this. Or you can say, like, this is exactly where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put me in my life, for this child, for this life, for this opportunity, for opportunities for me to grow, to be a better parent, be a better person, to be more compassionate. You know, all of life is going to be that statement. I am exactly where I'm supposed to be, and there's a reason for this, and I'm going to grow in it, and have a spirit of acceptance in that, and happiness will only come with that spirit. Because if not, then we spend our whole life just sort of looking elsewhere. If this, and maybe that, and that life, and if only that, no, no, no. This is where I'm at, and this is where I'm supposed to be at, and let me embrace that with a spirit of acceptance, and humility, and simcha, and faith. And the ability to do that makes all the difference in the world, in your life, and in my life, and the life of anybody who wants to have a meaningful and happy existence. And this is a great opportunity to practice exactly sort of those skills. So, I'm going to find out.
Right, and obviously to piggyback on that is that what you're seeing here is that these are, even though these are conversations about dating and relationships, these are all actually lessons for life about everything. If it's not this, you'll see in Ritz Hashem once you're married, you'll see then it's about children, then it's about elementary school, then it's about high school, and then it's about, I guess, grandkids, I don't know that. But there's always going to be something that's going to be stressing you out that your peers are going through. And it's not a race, first of all. So we all know that. Like Rabbi Glass said, this is what Hashem wants for me, and we all have a Buddha that Hashem was going to send me the right person at the right time. So it's not a race. If I'm married to someone, I didn't take your husband. Like, that's not the way that it works. Hashem has the right person for each and every one of you. And I think the biggest, I guess, when I saw the dating culture, because yes, I was in Stern, I also was in Brookdale, I also would peek out, or maybe I shouldn't say that, but you know, there's a lot of dating culture, but I think what is important to realize, and whether it's that dating or whether it's that your test, that if you find that you're around people that are stressing you out or that are consumed with something that is, like, too much for you, so don't hang out with them, I hate to say. Or, like, find other places that will bring you up instead of bringing you down. And I'm not saying to cut people out of your life, but you can also limit the stress. You don't have to be in conversations all day long that go in circles, that go nowhere, and there's no toalus, and there's no nothing about it. Like, you can also have conversations that are, you know, more meaningful and helpful, and or whether it's learning or doing other things with your time, whether it's knitting or finding another thing to do. But your conversations don't only, and I think you should consciously make an effort, because you're not the only one that feels that way. And you to be aware that not everybody wants to be in that conversation. So I think it's on you to kind of extricate yourself from stressful situations and other people having the conversations to realize that it may be too much. And to realize that this is all part of Hashem's plan. Okay. Next question. Okay, I think these are grouped together. Okay. What are some red flags that are not obvious? By the way, that is a red flag. That was a question. How much are you supposed to trust your gut when dating someone versus trying to stay open-minded and optimistic? How much are you supposed to compromise versus stand on your ground and stick to your values? How do you know what things you should ignore, a small character trait or bad habit, in the person you are dating versus something that is a red flag?
Am I related? Okay.
You see how I had to get all the questions.
Okay. So my question, the first question, was what are the obvious red flags? I feel like we just sort of assume that we all are on the same page about what those are, and now we're going to talk about the hidden ones. So I'm not sure what the ones that are hard to find are.
I would just say red flags.
Yeah. Red flags in general, I mean, the biggest thing to me that I would say is that, let me go back a little bit. When we were talking about how you know that you're ready to start dating, I think it was Rabbi Glass who talked about being an emotionally healthy person and being in a good place. One way to sort of judge and know yourself and know if you are in a good place is to look at the relationship that you have in your own life. Your friendships, your relationships with your family members. If those relationships are balanced and healthy, that's a good sign that you are in a balanced and healthy place. So now I'll take that same message and apply it to this. If a person that you are dating is not healthy or balanced, right? And we might see that in their other relationships. That's a big red flag to me. So if their relationships with their friends are chaotic, or they really don't get along with any family members, or it just seems like there's a lot of dysregulation in their relationships, that's a pretty big red flag that they're not going to be able to be in a healthy place with you. What was the rest of the question?
How much are you supposed to trust your gut when dating someone versus trying to stay open-minded and optimistic?
It's a pretty hard question. I think part of this, you have to look at it kind of big picture, maybe not so much in like one particular example, but if on the whole you're finding that you are super, super critical, and your gut is like every single time telling you, nope, not for me, maybe that's a sign that you need a little gut check, so to speak. The things to emphasize are things that are values-based. You want to have the same values as the person that you're going to partner with. And things that will impact your life long-term. That being said, there's no exactly right or wrong answer, of course, because what's very important to you might not be to your friend and vice versa. But I think that most of us have a pretty good gut check about which things are really very critical and are going to have impact on our lives and which are not. So, pass this along.
So each one of these questions are complicated, and Rabbi Simen is putting us to the test by asking 17 complicated questions at once. You know,
I was doing for time's sake.
No,
it's
okay.
Let's do one by one.
No. So I do want to mention just in regards to the red flags. And by the way, I don't know what the format is, but if you want to be asked follow-up questions later, put something to you. I would just mention regards to red flags. This is a very complicated question because it's very hard to say, oh, this is a red flag. Because so many things are in context. You have to know the person. You have to see it. For me to sort of sit here and say, well, obviously if a person is like screaming at you, if you go out on a date and the person is like humiliating the waiter, like I'm not sure that's a red flag. That's like a red, whatever is larger than a flag. You know, so there's certain things that are absolutely obvious and things that are more subtle. Things that are more subtle are sort of hard to describe here, but maybe sometimes even like having, not that you have to test the person you're dating, but kindness and a gentle soul and derech eretz is the key to any relationship. And sometimes you get a sense the person's a nice guy, but then maybe under stress or situations come up where all of a sudden they're barking or they're upset or they're yelling at their mother. Or they're like this. You know, there's sort of things that you get a sense, like, okay, you peel back, the page a little bit and you see what's going on. That's definitely something I'll be conscious about. But I just want to mention, because this issue does come up a lot, of, let's say you get set up with someone or you're dating someone and their family situation is not the Brady Bunch. Now, most of you probably don't know what the Brady Bunch is, but just imagine, this beatific scene of just, please pass, thank you, and, two happy parents around the table and 7 well-behaved children, and you're dating someone and their parents got divorced and maybe this happened or maybe there was some major issue, and that is very common nowadays, right? Divorce and other family issues. We're living in a complicated time. And that is not a red flag per se, right? Now, there might be certain specific situations. What is a red flag is a person who does not have the capacity to perhaps deal with maybe the trauma that was in their life. So if a person says, my parents went through this, it was very difficult, I'm happy to talk about it, I sought out help for it, and they're grown from the situation, that person may be even much better suited to be a husband or a wife. It's a person who says, yeah, this happened and that happened, and my father, whatever, maybe died at this age or this happened. Yeah, but it's all good, right? It's fine, it didn't bother me. And that's, and then they're not even realizing some of the issues in their life or maybe even some of the chaos of their parents' life. Like, that's a real red flag. To go through difficult situations and not have either processed or had the capacity to process to me is a major, major red flag, because there's probably a lot there that's not addressed that will come out later. And it also maybe shows you how that person will deal with conflict in their own life. Do they have the capacity to talk out issues, face issues, deal with issues? The inability to do that and communicate in that sense is definitely something to be conscious about and will definitely play itself out in the course of a relationship and life friend. So.
Just want to answer a different one of the questions.
Sure.
I don't want to take you off.
No.
The question about, you know, you want to give things a chance, but your gut is saying no. So I think like what Dr. Amber is saying, it also depends on what your gut is saying. You know, you want to make sure that your instincts are in check and they make sense. And like we both said, not disqualifying people for reasons that are silly. And if you do that repeatedly after every boy that you go out with or every guy you go out with, you want to stop and self-evaluate and check. Because one of the things that we find is you don't want to be one of those people who have regrets in dating. Like every time a girl or a boy or a man or a woman come to me and they'll tell me what they're struggling with, they're not sure about this, they're not sure about that, he did this on a date, she did this, she said this, he said that. I even had it tonight on the way here. Before you end something, like really just make sure that either you're sure that you want to end it or you've spoken to someone that you trust, one of your mentors and dating or whoever, just to be sure that what you're ending it for is really the right reasons or really makes sense. Because sometimes we prematurely end relationships and then later there's regret. Like it's a little hurtful, I'm sure, that the two panelists on the side would say the same. Sometimes I meet with older people who've been dating for a very long time, and I don't even want to use the ages that they are, and I'll meet with them, and I'll say something like, did you ever meet a young lady that you liked, or did you ever meet a man? And they're like, yeah, like 10 years ago, I should have married her. And 8 years ago, I should have married him. Like, you don't want to be in that situation. You want to like make sure that every opportunity that comes your way, you thought through, you got the right guidance, your gut is making sense, and you're not disqualifying him because, just for example, he plays hockey, you like basketball. These are things that sometimes come up, and you're like, really? I like hockey too. Like, really? Like, you want to just make sure that the values that you're basing your decisions on are real, make sense, and if you are struggling, feel free to speak to anybody, because I feel like someone older and wiser, things that I thought were important at 18 were not important when I got married at 24. It just changed. Time and it took me a while. That's why one of the reasons I started Y Connects is because I didn't get married like this. It took me a long time. My husband dated for a long time, and I dated for a long time, different people obviously. But we grew through it, and you know, again, you want to just make sure that the growth is positive and that you get to a better place as opposed to having regrets of things that you didn't need to do.
So a couple of years ago, someone that I respect a lot, named Rabbi Blass, actually, we did, I don't know if you remember me, we did like a little vod together about dating. And Rabbi Blass said, and I literally think about this all the time, he said that the problem with red flags is that no one brings a red flag.
Do you remember that you said that?
No one brings a red flag. So that's why it's a red flag, because obviously they're very subtle and they're hidden. They're not something that's very obvious. So to me, when I think of red flags, I think of patterns. Meaning, if someone had a bad day and wasn't in the best mood or wasn't on their best, so that may not be a red flag. But if you see them every time, like slam the door in your face, that I guess is more than a red flag. But that's something that you should take notice of. And I think that, like everyone here said, is that you want to make sure that you're honest with what you're looking at or what you're thinking. Meaning, you have to be honest. Like, if you don't like his shoes, and you're like, okay, and obviously I'm being dramatic on purpose, but if you don't like his shoes, you can say to yourself, well, is that really a reason to end it, Or if something is, Marishkaya, meaning like, well, his family is from Queens, and I'm from Florida, so how could that work? So again, that's something that you might need to think about, maybe different mentalities. But at the same time, not to go out with someone or not to even explore the relationship when you don't know what that person is like. You don't know, you know, all the different nuances that they have, and making assumptions, you know, obviously is not ever going to help you in this process. And I do think that, you know, obviously I speak to a lot of you all the time, and I do always tell girls, like, with all due respect, that's not important. You know, I hate to say it, and I always apologize for being obnoxious, but I really, you know, people will tell me, you know, I really thought you'd be taller. Okay, is that going to make him a better or worse husband? Is that going to make him a better or worse father? You know, to kind of sometimes focus on what your purpose is. You know, again, maybe you imagine yourself with someone tall or someone raw, I don't know, whatever you want to make up, blonde, you know, I'm sure you've heard it. You know, all these things. And so sometimes you need to readjust what you imagine yourself with. Maybe someone really outgoing, but this guy that you've been dating for 3 months is more reserved, and he's just wonderful in all ways. But you picture yourself with someone who's outgoing. So again, sometimes you have to readjust, and that may take time. And you can give yourself that time, because no one is rushing you. Like, you're your own person. So again, and I just went through a few different questions all together.
Can I tell a quick story? Yeah. I just want to tell a quick story, just to add to what Representative Simon said. I have one brother. His name is David Bless, Rabbi Dr. David Bless. He's an amazing, amazing person. Never caused trouble in his life, unlike his younger brother. And just always done the right thing. He's always very good. He's a great student. He's a Talmid Chacham. So he started dating Malka, I guess, 28 years ago. And they went out, let's say, 6 times or so. And she was ready to break up because she thought he's too formal. He would show up on these dates in these, like, this is still the joke in our family, which I'm sure with all of you. Hopefully this won't get taped to listen to, but he'd wear these, like, rockports that were, like, red and wine-colored rockports. And she was, like, very frum, but, like, the cool with Marisha, and he's wearing rockports. And every time he would call up, you know, after you've been dating for, yeah, Rabbi Smith also wore the rockports. You have this Rabbi Cement hat that he wears in the winter. That's the, you know, talking about that hat.
Yes.
I hope you start wearing that after you got married, by the way.
He's
not going to. Okay. He deserves it, by the way. And then my brother would call up, you know, every time they'd have like a phone conversation, he'd be like, hi, this is David Blass. She's like, how many guys does he think is calling me that he has to keep on saying his last name on the phone? Like, I know who you are. You're the only guy I speak to, right? So after the 6 days, she's like, that's it. He's just too, you know, he's too serious. He's too this, he's too that. She said, you know what? Like, he's such an amazing person. I'm going to give it another day. Another day, just better. Do a mini golf, do other stuff. So 8 children and grandchildren later, they have an amazing marriage. And it's all because she didn't sort of jump to something based on maybe a gut, maybe preference, maybe a style, right? Just we sort of have to allow things to breathe and to think, okay, by day 2, then X, right? Like, this is life. It's not like some type of, like, tic-tac-toe. And by day 4, this, and by day 5, okay, give me a break, please. Like, life is sort of a little messy and complicated and complex and needs sort of time to breathe a little bit, and please just sort of keep that in mind in your life. And Rabbi Smith, we love you, and we're sorry.
The only other thing I would add to this is that, you know, just for a little bit of perspective, a lot of the things that you care about now, you will not care about in 5 or 10 years, and the things you could not have, you know, weren't even on your radar to care about now, you'll care about them. So that's unnerving, right? Because how do you make a choice now? I'm telling you that you're going to be a different person, and you know you'll be a different person down the road. How do you know now what you're going to want then? At the end of the day, I think that the most important thing is that you end up with somebody who you can work with through whatever, right? Because whatever you now think is going to be your issue then, like, oh, fine, I'll probably always, you know, hate his dress, you know, the way he dresses, but okay, I'll put up with it. That's, like, not going to be your issue down the road. It's going to be something that you just totally didn't anticipate, most likely, maybe also the book. But, right, so, you know, the most important thing is that this is a person that you have a sense you will be able to handle the ups and downs of life, whatever they are. So when it comes back to, like, you know, the gut check and which things are most important, it's stuff that are, that's going to impact that. Does this make him not a person that I'm going to be able to ride the ups and downs of life with? Or maybe I hate his shoes. Or it might not even be as silly as his shoes. It might be something a little bit larger. Like, I like the guy who's kind of like the party and he's really quiet. And can I be okay with that? So that's up to you to decide. But I think the question is, when things get rough and, you know, life is complicated, is he going to be a person that's by my side? Do we work well together? And if the fact that he's so quiet makes it that you feel that you can't communicate with him, then that's probably a problem. And if not, if he's a great listener and you understand each other and communicate really well, then maybe it's an asset. So, you know, just to keep things in that lens.
And I guess, continuing this, this wasn't a question asked, but I feel like I get asked this all the time. I'm sure you do too. And I hope you don't mind I'm just throwing an amp there. But a question that I always get, which I think is very relevant, is how long should we date? Or, you know, in terms of trusting your gut, like if you've gone out 4 times, like, shouldn't I know already? Or my friend on the first night knew. Or, sorry, I'm throwing this in. But I think it's a very relevant question, and because that would be the next piece of it. That everyone feels, I think, like on a timeline, which if you spoke to me, and I'm sure you spoke to everybody here, and I'll give you all a chance, you're not on a timeline. This is the biggest decision of your life, and you cannot be stuck on someone else's timeline. You can't be stuck on someone else's view and someone else's dating life and someone else's anything. This is all about your own, and if that's 6 months, 10 months, a year, I want to say 10 months, no. But I'm saying, like, you need to, this is something that you need to invest in, and you can't expect solutions and resolutions and clarity in, like, a very short, like, snapping your fingers. And again, it's going to be different for everyone. There's no exact, that's why it's different for everyone, but there's no exact timing. So I just feel like everybody, I think, breathes a lot better when they realize, like, okay, like, I can do my own thing. Again, this is for marriage. This is adulting. Big time. So you have to be able to break from, like, whatever you think your friends are doing and see what's best for you.
You agree?
Well said.
That was my question,
well,
my
said.
Answer. Okay. How do I know how attracted I'm supposed to be to the person I'm dating? Is it realistic to find someone that I'm so attracted to that is also shy of? How do I find a balance between not dragging things out too long and also giving someone a chance?
But I would say that oftentimes to be attracted to someone for the right reasons, not to be like right away infatuated, a real, healthy, overdue attraction sometimes takes time. It takes effort and definitely comes after you give to the other person. You invest in a relationship, you give to the other person, you spend time with them, even your own friends, right? Sometimes you'll be friends with someone, you'll meet her, and over time, as you spend more time with them, you think she's beautiful inside and out. Really, it's the same thing with relationships. It's definitely worth, if you were not attracted at the very, very beginning, to say, you know what, I'm going to give this a few dates, I'm going to give this time just to make sure that I feel that I can't be with this person before you just walk away. Because sometimes, it's like they were all saying, it's not like you might not be the coolest boy, or you might not be the best looking, or the tallest, or the shortest, whatever one you want to say. And then over time, you just start to like the other person because there's some kind of chemistry, even if it's not, you know, physical, but some kind of emotional chemistry that builds up that you just didn't have the opportunity to wait for. But it's definitely something that you should give time and you really should invest. How long in terms of dragging out? Like, again, to each person it's different. I really like Rachel correctly said, I don't want to say, you know, on the 5th date, the 6th date, the 10th date. Everybody has their own time clock of how many dates or many weeks you want to give it before you say, you know, I really, really, really tried, but the attraction or the chemistry isn't there. But you really, 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 really definitely should try. And I had it a bunch of times with people that I set up, and at the beginning they would be like, I'm not so attracted. But the person would say with that, you know, but everything else is there. He's so nice, or she's so nice. And then with time, all of a sudden, they're the most beautiful person. And they, like as Rabbi Glass said correctly, they have a lot of children now, Baruch Hashem. And I still remember those people. Instead, like, I don't know if I'm so attracted. I didn't want to, Chas V'Shalom, you want to be attracted to whoever you marry. So I'm not the pushy type to be, just marry him or just marry her and I'll be fine. I'm not like that at all. And no, none of these guys say that cloud, because you do need an attraction to be married. But at the same time, don't quickly think that, you know, right away, he's so good looking. Okay, it's fine. I went out with a lot of people that were very, very good looking. It didn't work out. It's fine. At the end, Baruch Hashem, I found what was good looking to me. We're fine. We're good. But I'm saying that you just definitely want to give it time. And also, the other thing I would piggyback on the question before is, it should be what's good for you. Don't have in your mind, well, my friends think he's cute. Well, my friends think he's smart. Well, my friends think he's outgoing. Well, my, you know, whatever it is. Do you think that, like, at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to hopefully, if you decide to marry a person, live with them. No one's going to be there to be like, he's so cute, or he's not. No one's going to do that. So just really take the time to think, like, what do I think? You know, and it's like what I think Rachel or Brother Glass just said, that, you know, sometimes you think you need the very outgoing. Sometimes you like someone very quiet. I once had a couple. They went out for a few months, and she's like the life of the party, and he's much more quiet. After a few, I think it was a few months, I should say weeks or whatever it was, they ended. They didn't continue because she wasn't sure, like, how drawn out, right? They went out with other people, he went out with other people, she went out with other people, and I still remember, they have a bunch of kids now. She came back to me and she says, I need to go back to him. From all the people I dated, I never met such a nice person. He's so nice, he's so eloquent. She went back to him, they're married, they live near us. And you know what? He's way more outgoing than he was, because she taught him how to be more outgoing for her liking. But there's a beautiful family, and it stopped to be about what my friend's going to say, because at the end of the day, you know, it's you and him, hopefully in your own house, apartment, so you like as Rachel said, you have to, like, tune out your friends after a while and see what would be most meaningful and most beneficial to me.
And now we've got the question.
That's a great answer. Thank you. Indeed, my estama, but.
Oh, attraction.
Yeah, okay. I just maybe just want to address the second piece of that and the issue of how long to let things go and how much time to give something. I want to sort of maybe mention a slightly different issue, and I'm curious if my co-panelists agree. Rebbetzin Semed mentioned that sometimes it might take, you know, 10 months, or it could take a year, and that's definitely true. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I would just be a little bit cautious for those of you perhaps who are in a relationship already, of something that does come up a certain amount, both from the side of men and from the side of women, and that is you're going out for, let's say, a period of time, right? And what I try to do with guys are like, okay, we've been going out for X amount of months, and I'm not sure if I want to get engaged to this person or not. And then I'll say, okay, can you answer the following five questions, right? And the five questions are, maybe you disagree, is, do I really enjoy spending with this time? Time with this person, middle age has its downsides to it. Most of the time. It doesn't mean all the time. It doesn't mean I'm always excited to see this guy or this girl. Is there a decent level of physical attraction? And obviously, Rosen Zelowski just answered that so beautifully. Do we have shared values and a shared vision for our future, of what we sort of want our life to look like? Do I feel this person is a growth-oriented person and that they're receptive to growth? And lastly, do I think this person is going to be a great mother and a great wife? And I said, if you can answer yes to those five questions, then you can marry this person and just work the rest of your life. Do I enjoy being with them? Is there physical attraction? Shared values? good mother and good wife, and a growth-oriented person. And then, let's say a person say, yeah, I say yes to all those questions, and I agree with all of that, and I know them, and I know their family, but then I'm going to take the next sort of X amount of months, like, to ruminate. Maybe, I'm not sure, and I don't know, I can't say yes, I'm not ready, I don't know. No, that already becomes something that is often the death knell of relationships, right? The rumination and sort of getting stuck a little bit and not being able to sort of like push through some form of nervousness or maybe anxiety or other things that are going on. So I do agree with Reverend Cement, things sometimes take a while, but sometimes you get to the point where you say, yeah, I think everything is there that will allow me to move on, but I'm just sort of stuck, I'm going to stay stuck. That can often be an absolute decline and usually portends like the end of a relationship, and sometimes it's sort of the necessity of, I'm at this point, and now I sort of need to be able to like take steps forward, and whatever that means, and I think that that is something that is significant, and just wanted to mention that as well. Please.
Totally veer away from the questions and talk about what Reverend Blessed was saying. I think it's a good idea to think about who you are as a decision maker in other areas as well. So, you know, if you are a person who struggles with doubt when it comes to other areas of your life, you are very likely to have that issue here. It doesn't mean that there's necessarily a problem with the relationship, just like there's nothing wrong with the seminary you chose or the, you know, the college you chose or the major you're picking or anything else, right? If you're a person who has trouble making decisions, don't expect, like someone mentioned earlier, you know, the black hole, I think, from Shemaya, right? Don't expect that here if you never get that. Some people are very blessed and they just see what they see and they're like, that one's for me and I know it and I have known since day one that I always wanted to be a doctor and I knew where I was going to seminary. You know, kudos to them. I have never in my life been blessed with that degree of certainty, basically about anything. That sounds nice, but I don't think that most of us get that. And I don't think that you should expect that. That being said, I think that you need to be able to feel good about the decision when you're making it, you know? So 100% certainty is not a thing, you know? I think if a person feels 100% certain about anything, they're probably just not being very thoughtful, right? Because there's uncertainty baked into everything in life, so you can expect at least some degree of that here. But you should feel good about the decision you're making. You should be able to say to yourself that with the information I have, I can answer those questions, those are good questions, or I can answer those questions well. I feel very optimistic about where we'll be headed as a couple, and I feel very solid in making sure so you do need that.
Great. I can just add one thing that's totally off script, but what just the thing that Dr. Alper said, how you are in life or how you show up in life is how you're going to show up in a relationship. So if you have a hard time deciding whether you want sushi or salad for lunch, which, by the way, is a big question, and I'm just reminding you, your parents are paying for this, so just get both, because it's your last, you run out of cap money by, like, October, you know, and you know who you are, right? You know who you are. You know you're the people that, you know, I can't decide, and I'm thinking about 3 different seminaries, and I'm taking 7 months, I'm talking to 87 different people, like, that's going to show up in relations also. Sometimes guys will come to me and they're like, well, Rabbi, I went out in 2 days. I don't feel like a strong connection yet. So first of all, I'm like, please do me a favor and give it a break. That's number one. And then I would ask them, knowing the answer to this question, because I know this guy very well, do you connect very quickly with your friends? Like when you went to Mivaseret or wherever, how long did it take you to feel really connected to your friends? I don't know, 3 months, 4 months? I'm like, so you want to go out on a date as someone who doesn't connect really quickly and then connect quickly after 5 hours with the person, right? I mean, the point is, whoever you are in life is also going to show up in relationships, and don't sort of maybe expect that to be different. Just embrace who you are, accept who you are, realize your differences between people, and that's sort of going to play out in the realm of relations as well. And just wanted to, you know, mention that in regards to that person.
I also think this is a great opportunity. I don't think we specifically mentioned this, or maybe I did, whatever. But I think that this is a great point to mention that it is important to have mentors in your life. And, you know, whether everybody here or whether someone else in your life or whoever it is,
your friends are awesome, and they're great, and it's always good to have friends, and you want to, you know, bond with your friends, and that's fun, but they may not have the life experience that you need to bounce things off of. And again, even when I meet with girls, most of the time they do most of the talking, and then they realize, oh, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. But it's important to kind of have somebody in your life you can turn to when you do have things that you're unsure about and you want to talk things out. And obviously your parents are amazing and wonderful, and you should always discuss things with your parents. Some parents are on the same page, some parents aren't. But whether you have a rug or a Revitin or a therapist or whoever it may be, maybe it's an older person in your life, you know, someone who can give you a little bit of stability or a little bit of perspective. You know, when you say to them, you know, I don't know, he's 5'10". I really thought I'd be with someone 6'1". And again, I'm being dramatic on purpose. You know, I think they can say to you, like, shake you up and say, no, well, that's really not going to impact your marriage, you know, at all. So, you know, I just think that, you know, some people, I think, are talkers anyway and do like to find people, but I think for everyone, it's just an important element of your life, especially with dating, to have someone that you can speak to. And again, it could be a Rub, a Revitin, anybody here at Stern College, Bar for Family, so many people here. Utilize them, use them, abuse them. This is, like, you know, what we're here for. So I want to make sure to say that. And then just specifically about attraction. I guess if you've spoken to me, you know that obviously attraction is important, but attraction grows. And I think that, I'm not going to get into the whole picture business, but I think that no one is a one-dimensional person, and I think very much, very often, people's personalities shine through. And what you may see, you know, who comes to pick you up, once they start talking and animated and full of life and your conversations are great and your chemistry is great, very often as you date, and I see this in my own relationships, you don't really see their face. You don't really see, you know, oh, what you saw on the first date. You just, their personality is what you're marrying, not the 6'1", whatever type of person it is. So, again, I know, you know, males may be different than females, but I think that it's important to know that we don't know who Hashem wants us to marry. You know, we don't have a basketball that says, this is the boy, you know, get ready, this is it. That doesn't happen. I think you need to, you know, be open-minded and realize that to give everyone a chance, and now all these questions are coming together, give everybody a chance, take your time, and make sure that you're seeing the person's true personality, because we don't know what Hashem wants from us. You know, we don't know who he's going to put in front of us and who we're supposed to be with. Okay. I guess we'll ask one more question. Dating is so emotionally draining. Can you please give some advice on how to stay positive?
Well, first of all, I just want to affirm the fact that it is draining. Right? Anybody gets up and says, no, Baruch Hashem, and it's not draining, and this is the Ratzon Hashem, and blah, 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 no, no, no. Like, no, like, life can be draining. Life can be difficult. Life is a roller coaster. Relationships are a roller coaster. Going out can be draining. It's not going out can be draining. Just please make sure to affirm yourself and to get the support that you need to deal with some of the sort of, you know, just roller coaster of emotions in life. That's throughout life. But I want to just remind you guys that, yes, this could be, in theory, a difficult parsha in certain ways, this difficult time, but that we always do better if we experience our life in a very sort of holistic, the totality of our lives. Now, the totality of, let's say, the life of a girl in Stern who's dating or dying on you or anywhere else is that, thank God, I'm healthy, I have lots of friends, I have a full life, in many cases I have an amazing family, I have a great future, I'm learning Torah, I'm in New York City, I have mentors. often I'm financially stable, I've had great experiences in my life. Like, the totality of our lives really are ones typically of shefa, just like an overflow. And in the context of that, so then we experience frustration very differently. Yeah, I experience frustration, but I experience frustration in the broader context of a certain type of life, and that is a very, very different experience, where we experience frustration in that way. And so we can always sort of hold both those things at the same time, the greatness, grandeur of the life that we have, and also the frustration at the same time. And when we can do that, we keep ourselves with like a certain sort of balance and like a certain regulation, so to speak. And I always want to encourage you to do that. Feel the feelings, but also sort of bring yourself to like a greater consciousness of the beauty and shefa of your life. And if you're able to do that, I'm able to do that, so then our lives can be ones of real healthiness and happiness. So that would be my bracha to you guys.
Well, sounds so beautiful. But I would just add, similar to what Rabbi Blas just said, because I'm not one of those positive, everything's amazing. There are people, I have family members, like you ask, everything's amazing, the sun is shining. Like,
the
wires. So on. What?
The wires.
You know what I'm talking about. My family. Everything's great. Everything's amazing, even when it's not. So I myself work on that, of what Rabbi Blas is saying. Okay, you know, this child is giving me a hard time, this, you know, parent needs help, or whatever it is going on, or I'm having trouble at work, or having trouble in the shul, whatever you want to say. And that concept of, you know, my whole life is good. This part is a little challenging right now, and I have to, like, tend to it. But I can't over-consume, and I have to deep, no matter better at, like, deep, you know, that separating, you know, where, like, sometimes me as a woman, I get like all, like it just becomes one big mishtabala and very mixed up. And one of the reasons, aside from what Rabbi Blas is saying, is that it's just a better hashkafa zachayim, a better approach to life, is that you want to be a positive dater. You know, if you're in one of those moods where everything's terrible, then even if it's true, you might want to take a pause and not go out that night, because it comes across on the date. Comes across a lot. Like sometimes I'll hear from a boy, like, she doesn't like anyone in her job. She doesn't like anyone in school. I'm like, really? And he'll give me examples of things that people, that the girl said on the date. I'm like, wow, she got in a fight with this one, and she got a, and maybe she was just having a bad day. She should not have gone out that day, because he ended it the next day. He should, you know, wow, she's not that type of girl. But like, stop yourself if you're in one of those moods. I could say this as a mother. Hopefully you don't have mothers like this, but when I'm not in a good mood, the whole house doesn't function nicely. And like, I sometimes want to go outside, and, you know, my husband would probably want to say to me, like, if I could go out and reset, restart, doesn't say it because he's trying to be nice. But it really affects your whole, like, you wake up in the morning and everything's bad. Really, then everything's bad. So it's true that, you know, thank God I have a rub on the panel to remind us that even when we're having a hard time, life is good. Beautiful, and you have to just focus on the good parts while you're handling the little challenges, and take the time to affirm and say, yeah, that is hard, but help yourself move forward, whether it's speaking to someone or going with a friend, everything that we just spoke about, or speaking to yourself, or going reading a book, or taking a walk by yourself, and like recalibrating and resetting, and like, I can do this.
So to just add one thing, I'll just say, don't underestimate the ability that you have to impact how you feel. So we are, of course, affected by our circumstances, but our circumstances don't entirely need to determine how we feel. And we know that for sure, because you can see two people go through seemingly identical circumstances and come away feeling very differently about it. The way that you talk to yourself about what you're going through, and the way that you act when you're going through something challenging, very much impacts how you feel. If you act like things stink, you'll feel like things stink, right? It's like saying in a nutshell, you know? If you want to feel positive, even in the midst of challenging times, you need to act like it's okay. Act like this is a piece of your life that's maybe not going exactly the way you'd like it to. But there are, you know, as everyone else has said, so many other things that are going well. Show yourself, behaviorally, pick yourself up, immerse yourself in those things, and show yourself that you're okay. We oftentimes think that we need to feel good in order to like go out with a smile on our faces, and it's actually the other way. If you can find a way, and I'm not diminishing how challenging it can be, but if you can find a way, even in your challenges, to get up and put the smile on your face and put one foot in front of the other, you can very much change the way you feel, even in difficult circumstances.
So I would just add one more piece to that, and that this is what we've spoken about a lot, is that these are all muscles to stretch. These are all, these are lessons to learn that a positive attitude is not something you just turn on and turn off. It is something that now you have to train yourself, because again, this is this now, and then it'll be marriage, then it'll be children, then it'll be, you know, seminary, whatever, the next thing. So the earlier that you learn to look at things in a positive way and kind of help yourself out of a rut or make sure that you're in a, you know, positive attitude, I think that is what will help you accomplish all these things. Because again, life is challenging, like we said. There's ups and downs. It's, you know, all over the place. If it's not this, it's that. If it's not that, it's this. So the earlier and the more that you can work on those muscles and train yourself to say, okay, I am going to take this situation and make it positive, I think that will just serve you well in all areas of life. Midterms are coming in all different ways. The more you can have a positive attitude in all areas, the better you will be.
I just want to add, I love seeing Rabbi Bernstein here. Remember when he first came to YU, and now several years later, married to Benina, who's also an amazing person, and her children. So often what you hear in YU is guys thinking about the next stage. I'm going to get my internship, I'm sure it's the same thing with starting, I'm going to get married, I'm going to do this, in 3 years I'm going to be there. It's always like, I'm here, but I'm always sort of like there, you know, next stage, or maybe regrets about the past, right? It's so chaval. Like, this is such an awesome stage of life. You know, friends, free time, the city, learning shiurim, not having to worry about, you know, paying all the bills, not having to worry about mortgages, not worrying about, you know, your child jumping out the window. I mean, it's just, and all those things are great. I mean, child jumping out the window, we can do without, but like carpools, I just, we're painting a great picture about marriage over here, but like marriage is great, children are great, but you know what's also great? Being 21 years old in Manhattan with your friends, with Rebbeim, teachers, to love this life and not to be like, well, I can't wait until then. Where do you think then is exactly? You know,
then it's going to be then.
And then, okay, but then, and then I'll be on then. And then, okay, then I'll be on vacation 6 months, and then it'll be then. Okay, now I have my kids. When are my kids getting married? It's like, can we stop and be present and love our life and relish in that and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that and be besimcha for that? If we have that attitude, like everything feels different. And I cannot encourage that enough for you and for me and really for everyone. That's it. I've said my piece.
For now. Okay, so I think we're going to end very soon. But I do, if everybody knows me, I give everybody homework. This is what I do. And if you come to a dating panel, you get homework. And the homework is that everyone should go back tonight and think of at least two or three of their friends and set them up. This is your homework. This is what you have to do. You have a job tonight. Because, again, one of the questions was, like, how do I network? How do I get out there? Or whatever. So now everybody has a job. And Rosh Hashanah tomorrow will be a lot of shidduch and name. So this is what everybody has to do. Because, again, I think everybody sometimes feels, in general, somebody else will do it or who's thinking of me. But, no, each and every one of you are going to go back tonight. It's not midterm yet. Maybe next week. You can go back and make some tefillin. You all have brothers. You all have cousins. You all go to shul. You all went to Morasha or Moshava or Masora or wherever you went. And you all know people. So that is your job for tonight, and that is your homework. And you can report back to me tomorrow. Okay. Does anybody have any questions? That's what I
thought.
Okay. Oh, you have a question?
I have a question. Just a quick applause, if I can. Brother Glass is going to be here for Shabbos, this Shabbos. I don't know what your plans have been for this Shabbos already, whether you're signed up for Shabbos or not, whether you're planning on making those shidduchim by going back home for Shabbat, whatever your plans are for the Shabbos, I actually don't remember, in all of our 4 years here, this is our first time we zochet to have a Reb Glass with us for Shabbos since we're here, and it's a huge zechus. Some of you may not have heard from Reb Glass before, et cetera. The reason Reb Glass remembers me when I came into YU is because I spent a nice amount of time with Reb Glass in the beginning, acclimating and getting used to it, and Reb Glass was very, very helpful in facilitating that for me. And I really just want to, again, this is not even a plug for Shabbos. This is a plug for spending more time, the opportunity to have Reb Glass in your presence. If you want to take the present as it is, a 21-year-old in the city, you know, with the time that you have, as Reb Glass just said, and you want to make the most of it, Deborah, I cannot tell you, whatever your Shabbos plans are, you list them from today to tomorrow, let's say your grandmother's coming over, then you go. But otherwise, I can't tell you a better way to spend Shabbos than to be amongst each other with Reb Glass for Shabbos. I really can't, and I want to just plug that. It's not even, it's a shameless plug, because it's mamish cool to shake Shemayim, that you should come here and spend the opportunity to hear from Reb Glass over Shabbos at least 3 times and to ask him more questions. Please take advantage of his time while he's here, because he will be here for Shabbos.
But nothing that Ray Burris has said is true.